So I am really excited to be here because I had a quick chat with some of the people before we started about who's doing mobile development and how they're doing it. And I believe we have a fantastic offering for you. But why am I the guy they asked to come and talk to you about this? Well, my name is Donovan Brown. I'm a senior DevOps program manager at Microsoft. I'm very, very competitive. So, and you can kind of see that from some of the fun facts there. And I believe they asked me to come and talk to you because you can use that to your advantage. People tweet at me all the time things that other companies do or other products do, and I'll go back to the product team and say, we got to fix this because I don't like to lose. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you exactly what we have when it comes to a DevOps offering. And this applies to any language targeting any platform. And the most important thing for you to understand when you leave here is that this works for your language and your platform, and I don't even have to ask you what language you program in, and I don't have to ask you what platform you target. Yes, this stuff works for that language and that platform. I got challenged the other day. This won't work for VB6. You can go to donovanbrown.com right now, search for VB6, and there's a blog post that shows you how to do everything I'm about to show you on VB6 if you have to. We all have VB6 in our organizations. You might not want to admit it, but it's there, right? We've all written it, and we know it's there. So what we're going to do today is we're going to have some fun. But this is Velocity, and what we do at Velocity is we define DevOps. So I'm going to go ahead and define DevOps for you here in a second as well. But we are going to actually give away a Microsoft ban, but you have to stay. So like I said, no matter how bored you get, I'd stay put because it'll be worth it at the end. But this is our definition of DevOps at Microsoft. It's the union of people, process, and products to enable continuous delivery of value to our end users. Nice and simple. The key word there is value. We're not trying to copy files to a server. We're trying to deliver value to our end users. You might not even change your application to do that. You might just change your infrastructure. You might upgrade or scale in or scale out or scale up. And what you have to be able to do to determine if you delivered value is to actually monitor the application in production. It's not enough just to put the code out there and hope, cross your fingers that they're using it. But if you can monitor that application, you can see, did they find that new feature? Do we need to put more marketing behind that idea? And then go back in and verify, was the money well spent? After the marketing campaign, are they now using that particular feature? Or did we just copy random files to a server? Right? So we have the tools that you need to be able to monitor your application, regardless if it's mobile or otherwise. And we're going to talk about some of that stuff. Funny thing is that the people is the hardest part, as I'm sure you all will agree. I kind of wish it was underlined, flashing, making noise, because that's the hardest one to fix. But what I try to do at Microsoft is produce the coolest products that I can that are so obviously going to make your life easier that it's easy to convince your people to use them. If you get your people on board, the process is the easy part. So again, use my competitive nature to your advantage. Tweet at me anything that you wish it did that it doesn't do, and I will go back to the product team and have a discussion with them. So Team Foundation Server, Visual Studio Team Services. For those who are not familiar with those, they are two tools that are basically the exact same product. One you can install yourself on-premise if for whatever reason you're not ready for the cloud. And the other one we host for you as a SaaS offering in the cloud. A couple other differences between them. TFS, the on-prem version, we update every 3 months. So every 3 months we push an update. It has new features, has bug fixes, performance enhancements. But every 3 weeks we upgrade the one that's on the cloud. There is a very good chance that I'm going to take you into the product later on during the demo and it be different than it was the last time I played with it because we update it that quickly. It's happened to me before. I actually stumbled during a demo because there was new features there that I didn't know about because the night before they had deployed them. I don't have to do anything but use the app and I get all this amazing value. What is it though? It's everything in one word. It's your work item tracking. It's your bug tracking, your test case management, your version control, and we don't even force you to choose which version control you want. How many Git fans do we have in the room? Yep, you guys are all probably under 40, right? I'm over 40, and I hate Git. I don't know when I'm supposed to pull or push or rebase or sync or fetch. I don't know. I just want to check in and check out. And what I love about TFS and VSTS is that we let you choose. If you like centralized check in, check out, you can use it. If you're on the Git bandwagon and you want to do all that other stuff, you can do that as well. One cool thing about our Git, it's unlimited private repos at no additional cost. It's the same Git that you know and love today. If you're using GitHub, you could clone that repo, go ahead and rebase it to ours, push it, and you get all your history and the exact same performance with no cost for your private repos. If you want to use Bitbucket or Subversion, we actually have connectors for those as well. So you don't have to use everything that we have on the screen, but you can use everything that we have on the screen. Another thing that is just so new for us at Microsoft is that it's completely cross-platform. As you notice, I have a Mac here. I tweeted a picture of me preparing for this yesterday where I had my Linux and Ubuntu 16.04 laptop up because I was using that to actually play with some other parts of Visual Studio Team services. Our agent, the one that actually does all the heavy lifting, runs natively on a Mac, runs natively on a PC, and on Linux. And yesterday, a buddy of mine brought me a Raspberry Pi running our build agent. Anywhere you want to be, we can get you there. Any language, any platform. And it's everything that you need. If you're not using us, you are using more than one vendor. It's just that simple. Because no other vendor on earth has all of this stuff. Right? You'll get pieces from one and pieces from the other, and then it becomes your job to make sure those pieces talk to each other. So instead of innovating on your product, you're maintaining your tool set. And what we allow you to do is focus just on your app, and we'll take care of the rest for you. But if you say, hey, Donovan, that sounds a lot like vendor lock-in, fear not. If you are dead set on using Jenkins, you can use Jenkins instead. The rest of this still works. If you're dead set on using GitHub versus ours, the rest of this still works. We have endpoints and outpoints of all of our verticals, so you can replace whatever you'd like. I'm going to say this one more time. Any language, any platform. Don't believe me? Tweet me which language you want me to go and prove it for you next, and I will go prove that we can do that with your language as well. Visual Fortran, done it. VB6, did it about a week and a half ago. You can go read the blog post and see exactly how. Funny thing about this, spoiler alert on the VB6. It's a really long post, because you know how hard it is to install VB6 on our modern operating system? Almost impossible. 90% of the blog post is how to install VB6 onto a 2012 server. Once you get it there, the rest of it's a piece of cake. Any language, guys, any platform. So this is the ecosystem you know and love from Microsoft. It's all us, and this is what you would expect. And then you're like, oh, yeah, just roll our eyes. Enough, Microsoft. We get it. You have all this stuff. But we don't use this stuff. We use this stuff. And that's fine because we integrate with everything on this page and things that are not on this page. We have service hooks. We have REST APIs. Anything that can be touched by a CLI or a command line interface, if you have a tool today that exposes a command line interface on any platform, we can actually use that tool for you in our build and our release pipeline, period. If it doesn't have a CLI but it has a REST-based interface, REST API, we can get to that too in our build and in our release. And I'll show you those two products here in just a moment. So this is the demo that we're going to be doing. We're going to spend the majority of our time in a demo. For all those with your laptops or your phones, you can go to peopletracker.us. It's an actual website. And then if you click on the people menu, and I'll take you here in just a second, you can put your name in there. And what we're going to do is I'm going to change this app while I'm on stage without touching it, but I'm going to change the database schema, the user interface, and change the mobile app right here in front of you and then show you the results of it as we go through it, right? So let's just go over to that app real quick. So let me fire up this guy. So this is People Tracker. It's a little application that I came up with that allows me to show really quickly, without focusing too much on the app, the power of what we have here. I'm a huge Scrum fan, so let's imagine that we're a Scrum team. We've been asked to write this application, and what we're in now is our sprint review. A sprint review is that meeting you have at the end of every sprint that says, hey, this is what we were able to do. Please give us your feedback. So what we're going to do is we're going to go prove to him that the application actually works. So a couple people have already played along. So what you do is you come over here, you click on Create New, and you add yourself. So I'll just go ahead and put Donovan Brown in here. And what we want to do now is we want to solicit input from our stakeholders. That, hey, see, this is a cool app. This is Donovan. You guys did great. For one sprint, really impressed. But what I really want to see here is a middle name column. Because without middle name, I can't distinguish one Donovan Brown from the other. Now, that's great feedback. To add middle name to a three-tiered application, how many tiers do we have to touch? All of them. The database has to be changed. The user interface has to be changed. The web service has to be changed to make sure it understands that new model that we're going to try to pass through it. The mobile application, I can show you that here too. Let me switch over to one. Now what we have here is a little iPod Touch. It's here in my hand. And all we're doing here is we're just mirroring that application here. So this isn't a simulator. This is the actual application. It's going to go off, and it's going to show us all the names of the people who are playing along now. And what I'm going to do is I now have to change this app alongside the rest of the apps as well. So I can't just change the website. I have to change the mobile app to make sure it supports middle name as well. And we're going to use a new cool piece of technology called Hockey App to do that for me without having to go through the store. So I'll assume that I'm like an alpha tester or a beta tester. I need to get those bits onto my phone without you putting them into the store so that I can test you and give you feedback. And that's what we're going to do here in just a moment. So let's hop back over. And if we want to add middle name, what we want to be able to do is track that we want to add middle name. So what I'm going to do is go to Visual Studio Team Services, and I'm going to add that idea that I got. So I'm going to say, let's go ahead and add middle name. So all I'm doing is I'm creating a work item so that we can go back in and we can track this work to make sure that someone takes on the ownership of actually adding the middle name for us. If I wanted to and it's not the most important thing, I can drag and drop it and reassociate it to make sure it's in the right priority order. If it is the most important thing, I just simply drag it to the top. If you're a Kanban fan, then we also have Kanban boards here as well. And if I want to, I can just take this and just drag it over into the ready state. It's going to go ahead and assign this over to me, and then I'll be able to go ahead and start working on this particular item. If I wanted to, if you're a big Git fan, you can actually go and create a separate branch just for this work. Because most of us who are using Git are using pull requests as a way to do a code review before the code makes its way back into the master branch. Instead of you having to go create the branch yourself, right here from the board, as you decide I'm going to go work on that, you can create that extra branch. And then when you pull it down into your IDE of choice, it could be IntelliJ, it could be Eclipse, it can be Visual Studio Code, on any platform. Android Studio, we support that one as well. If you want to do Xcode or you want to do Xamarin Studio on a Mac, that's fine. All those IDEs integrate with this. I would be able to go get that branch, perform my work, commit my changes, and create a pull request. Once the pull request is created, I would then evaluate it. For the interest of time, I'm not going to go through the pull request, but I wanted to make sure that you knew that that workflow is available to you. I'm just going to commit directly into master so that I can go ahead and make the demo go a little bit faster here. This is more than just a title. If I actually want to go and open this guy up, it's an entire work item. So I have descriptions and information about it, an ID, which I'm going to go and use here in just a second. So this says ID number 6362. I'm going to go ahead and take this for myself. And what I'm going to do now is I'm going to jump over into Visual Studio. I am a Visual Studio guy. Been working with Visual Studio back when it was called Visual C++ 1.52. You remember when you had to go to the store to buy software? You bought the box and you came home with all the CDs or the floppy disks? That's when I started programming, just to give you an idea how old I am. And what I wanted to do here is I want to go ahead and check in this code. I think it was a 362, I think was the number here. So just with a hashtag, I can tell it exactly what work item I was working on. It's then going to associate these code changes to that work item. So if I ever go look at it, I'll see exactly what lines of code I changed to actually turn this idea into a reality. Same thing with a bug or anything like that. It'll also tell me what build it was in, what release it was in, and the whole nine yards. So what I'm going to do now is I'm simply going to go ahead and push all this at the same time. Normally you would commit locally, do several commits, and then finally push. I just went ahead and did a push all directly. And what that should have done, let's just make sure we're all firing on all cylinders here, and then we're going to go talk about what we're doing, is that we should basically have a build running. As you can see here, the Docker CI build is already running because of continuous integration. So let me show you what actually is happening in the background here. So let's go back over here. So the goal is obviously to take the change from the developer here and get it all the way into production over there. That is our goal. And to get there, you can see all of the different machines and processes we have to go through. Beautiful thing is I'm not going to touch the software again to get it from one end all the way to the other. Obviously, we don't have enough time to go all the way to production, so I'm going to take you all the way into dev. You're going to see the changes right here while we're together, and then I'll show you the pipeline that would take us all the way into production. So how does this actually work? The first thing that you just saw me do was, as a developer, I committed the code to Visual Studio Team Services. Visual Studio Team Services saw that and then basically created a build. Now, my build is very unique. Half of my app is written in Visual Studio. The web service, the DAC pack, because I use SSDT, if you're not familiar with that. SQL Server Data Tools allows me to version my database just like the rest of my code. And when it's time for me to deploy a schema change, I don't actually write SQL to do it. And I don't have to concatenate my changes with your changes and your changes with your changes and then go find a DBA to bless this script before we run it. I simply make my changes like I normally would. This project keeps track of all those changes for us, and at runtime builds the necessary script to go update your database without dropping a single line of code. So we're going to go add a middle name to that database, but all the names that were there are still going to be there when we're done, and I don't have to write a single line of code to do it. That's the kind of beautiful thing that's happening right now when we do our deployments here. So it's obviously, if you understand CI, we're going to compile it, and we're also going to test your code. We run every major unit testing framework out there. JUnit, and we'll even give you code coverage on your JUnit. We'll give you Mocha, Jasmine, Pester, XUnit, NUnit, MBUnit. You name a unit, we know how to run it, and we'll actually calculate code coverage on the majority of those different frameworks for you as part of our build. We also have the ability to do Docker. I was at DockerCon just yesterday or the day before yesterday. Docker's hot. And we wanted to make sure that if you want to go Docker and containers, we have you supported here with Visual Studio Team Services. So as part of my build, I actually build a Docker image. That Docker image is running ASP.NET RC2. It just came out about a month ago. Its RTM is imminent. And what I did is I took that .NET code and I'm running it inside of a container running on a Linux machine inside of Azure, right? So that little tag cloud I had of all those technologies, you're actually going to see all those technologies being used today. So .NET in a Linux container on a Linux machine in Azure. So I have to build the image. And then after I build the image, I push that image to Docker Hub because I only want to build the image once. What you actually want to do is then on each host, pull that image down without ever changing it, right? If you're compiling multiple times to get to multiple environments, that's a bad thing. You want to compile once, deploy many times. Same thing when you're doing Docker. You want to build the image once and then simply pull the image down to your host multiple times if you need it. That's exactly what we're going to do here. So then what the agent is going to do is it's going to publish artifacts. Because not only does it push stuff up to Docker Hub, but I have UI tests. So we're going to be using Selenium to go back in after we deploy the app to run test against the app as it stood up. So not only did I run unit test, but I'm actually going to be able to test your app after it's been deployed into an environment and verify that it actually works the way it's supposed to. And what I need to do is I need to publish those artifacts back to Visual Studio Team Services such that it can hold on to them until the release pipeline happens. I build them here, but I'm going to use them later, so we simply publish them to our server. After that, we basically say, hey, I'm done with the Windows side, but we're not done yet because I have to go build that Android and that iOS, and that has to be done on a Mac. So what he's going to do now is he's basically passing the baton down to the other build agent. The other build agent says, it's time for me to compile my code. And then I'm going to take the IPA and the APK files, and I'm going to publish them over to HockeyApp. HockeyApp is a piece of hot technology that we acquired about a year and a half, maybe 2 years ago now. And what we do with it is it allows you to basically load your application on a phone and then pull down updates without ever going to the actual public store of that vendor. So we skip the Google Play Store, we skip the Apple Store, and we go directly to your device with updates. So your testers can get preview bits, start testing it and giving you feedback, and you don't have to go through all the signing and all the registration and all of the different reviews that's required to get into the store before your testers could give you feedback on it. That's called HockeyApp. So what we've done is we've taken those files and we've pushed them to HockeyApp. And the next time that I start this app on my phone, it's going to say, hey, there's a new version, and it's going to pull it right from HockeyApp so that we can start playing with it on my phone. After that, it also publishes some artifacts. For us to get into production, the IPA file and the APK file that I just pushed to HockeyApp aren't signed correctly to go to the public store. So I'm going to also put those on the server. So during my release, I could pull those down, re-sign them, and then push them into the actual public store so that they could be ready for distribution to our customers. And then what we're going to do is we're going to start a release. All we've done now is compiled it. It's a really complicated app with all these different parts. We've compiled it, and we've built all the packages, and we published them. And now it's time for us to start actually moving it out into the environment. So I have a DAC pack, I have a zip file, I have IPA, an APK file, a Docker image all ready now for me to start pushing it into my environment. I have three duplicate environments, dev, QA, and production. And what we're going to do is we're going to focus on getting this code into the dev environment. I'm going to deploy my database with a DAC pack. So it just goes out, and this is a SQL Azure database. So I don't have a SQL server anywhere. I just went to Azure, said I need a database. It said, okay, fine, how big do you want it? There you go. And now I just connect to it like I would any other database. But it's managed, backed up, scaled up, everything for me by Azure. It's just basically database as a PaaS service. And then I basically have to deploy my web service. I'm using Azure PaaS. It's called Web Apps. So again, it's like imagine that you asked for a virtual directory on a Windows server, but you never have to worry about the Windows server ever. All you worry about is putting your code into that virtual directory. We handle the rest. You can scale it up or scale it out, however you see fit. That's what I just did with my back-end web service. A lot of you, if you go watch some of my other videos, you'll see the same app, but it's not the same technology used for the app. I've done this demo multiple times, and every time I do it, it's different, but people seem to fail to realize that. I don't do a good job of explaining to you that this isn't the same people tracker you saw last time, because that one was written entirely in Java, and I deployed it using Chef, showing our integration. But today, I'm deploying it with .NET, but it's the same front end. It looks the exact same way. So what we did this time was we basically added mobile. So I can actually have a REST API that's implemented in Java or Node or whatever technology that you want, and I can host it in Azure for you as a web app. And then I need to basically tell the Docker host to do a run command. I'm saying, hey, I need you to go find this image that I published as part of my build and pull it down and start executing it on yourself, which is going to go back and do and pull from Docker Hub. At that point, it's time for us to run our UI tests. So those Selenium tests spring into action, and they go and they start beating up that website to make sure that we actually deployed it successfully without human beings having to be involved in it. Now, if you have a user interface, I highly recommend that you have human beings involved in your testing. A perfect example is localization. A computer can tell me that, yes, you changed the word from English to German, but it cannot tell me if the button in which it renders in actually grew or shrunk to still make it look good inside of the button. Because have you ever translated a language and one word is drastically longer in one language than it is in another? Well, the button or the menu has to basically grow or shrink to accommodate the different size of that word. Computers don't do a really good job of being able to see did that happen or not, but human beings are. Our system can actually pause and wait for approvals from your QA team or whoever you designate as the approver before we move on to the next stage. So this isn't a runaway train just blowing over everything as it goes from dev to production. It's smart enough to know when to stop, when to wait for verification from human beings, and then once it gets that approval, simply continue the process into the next environment. You simply rinse and repeat this until you're done. Notifications also get sent. So not only notifications get sent to the users who are the approvers, like, hey, you have something you need to go off and approve, but we also send notifications to your mobile testers saying, hey, there's a new version. You might want to go restart your app. And when you restart your app, you'll also get a notification there as well. And then we wait for the approvals. The approvals are me saying it is okay for you to go from there to QA. And then after I approve it, we basically end up waiting, repeating this process until we make our way all the way into production. You can have as many stages as you want. I just happen to have three. But if you have multiple QA stages or you also have a staging stage before you go to production, that's completely okay here. You model it however you see fit, okay? So with that, we should hopefully be able to return back over here and let's check the progress of what's been going on here. So as we can see, our first Docker CI build is completed and so did our mobile build. So it looks like we're going off on a good start here. Let's go into our mobile build and let's just double click on it and look around here. So what you can see here is that it was able to go back in and I did mobile, so I don't have my test running in mobile. Actually, I think I'd rather go back and show you my Docker build instead, because I think my Docker build has some unit tests in there. I'll show you some code coverage and some other cool stuff. So let's come over here and open up our Docker build instead. There we go. So here you can see I have some tests being run there. It'll go back in and tell me how long it took for those to run, pass or fail. It associated that work item. If you look down here at the bottom, it says that we associated work item 362, which was the one that told me to go back in and get add middle name. Shows me my code coverage results, and it also shows me that this build is actually in the progress of being deployed as we speak. So I can see down at the bottom, it shows me that, hey, we're right now trying to deploy this into dev for you. Now, how did I build all of this? The way that I built this was basically using our new build system, which I'm a big, big fan of. If you use our old XAML build system, this is not that. I'll just leave it at that. Okay, some of you are laughing because you've used our old XAML build system. That's fine. You can definitely clap for that. I actually liked it when I was a consultant because you had to hire me to come and fix it for you. But now I don't make any of that money anymore. It's really, really simple. It's literally just a list of tasks that you want to perform, and you can configure them really, really easily. And a matter of fact, if I come over here and open up our build steps here, you can see that we have all this stuff right out of the box. So I was talking to some gentlemen before we started, and I asked how they were doing their mobile development. And some of them said Android Studio, some of them said they were doing Xcode, some of them were doing Cordova. Well, there's your Android Studio. We have your Cordova right here in the middle, and then we have your Xcode down here at the bottom. You do not have to stop developing your application the way that you are today to start utilizing our system. We do own, however, Xamarin. I would highly recommend that you go and you investigate that tool. Because as I was explaining to you guys earlier, as I prepared this, I had my iPhone, I had my Android device, and I had my Windows phone on my desktop. I wrote one line of code, I pressed F5, and all three phones lit up with the answer. Right? Instantly, I was able to share code across them all. If you've ever done WPF XAML development, you are already a mobile developer. Because Xamarin Forms is XAML for your Windows development, I mean, for your mobile development. It's just that simple. And everything that I knew about XAML, I was able to instantly apply to mobile development. And it works on all three platforms automatically. So great way to invest. And again, I see a lot of apples glowing at me. You don't have to be on a Microsoft platform to use Xamarin. There is actually an IDE for Mac that you can actually use to start doing this immediately. You still get to code in C#, though, even though you're on a Mac. And you get the same great 3-for-1. We also can do anything that you can imagine from a command line. I want to dispel a rumor here. When you look at this, what do you think? You instantly think of the Windows command prompt. That's what I did. So when .NET RC2 released, within about an hour, I had it building in our system. The reason why is I just simply wrote these command lines out, .NET restore, .NET build, .NET publish, and I was ready to rock and roll. Then I wanted to see, could I do this on a Linux machine? And I thought I was going to have to replace all my command lines with batch scripts or shell scripts. This command line works on all platforms. And because the .NET commands were exactly the same, to move from Windows to Linux, I didn't change anything. It just went to the Linux machine, got the latest code, ran .NET restore, .NET build, .NET publish, and I was running it again on Linux just that easily. Anything that you can do from a command line, you can do from our build system and our release system. Anything. You're a PowerShell junkie already? We got you covered there as well. You can actually come down here and use the PowerShell task. We've gotten Docker extensions for you here. And you can actually write your own. My buddy Colin actually wrote this one that I use quite often for tokenization. Tokenization is when you need to make sure that your config file looks different in dev than it does in QA than it does in production. Many of us have 5 different copies of our web config and strategically try to copy the right one during our deployment. Well, sometimes that works and sometimes it doesn't. And when it doesn't, it's very, very costly. So what we do instead is we only have one copy of it that's tokenized, that doesn't have any values where the sensitive information goes, and then you tell this system what the value should be at the right time, and we put them in there for you perfectly every time. And this task allows you to do that. You don't see a task that you need here, it doesn't matter, because we can add it for you, you can add it yourself, and we have our partners and even some of our competition going into our marketplace and adding their own extensions. So you can already see names that you recognize in there. Octopus is a very popular extension that we have. LaunchDarkly enables feature flags for you. Lots and lots of people are using Slack. And if you want to use Slack, it'll integrate directly inside of our system. You'll be able to comment on builds, changes to work items, test results directly in your Slack channel. So whatever you can imagine, chances are someone is out there trying to write an extension for you right now. And we're going to make this extension policy and the building of it very, very easy so that more and more people can go out and extend the abilities of Visual Studio Team Services. So we're going to go back now. And I think I closed the wrong tab. So let me jump back into the project here. And let's see how we're moving in our release. So I talked to you about build. And the reason that I take so much time when I talk about build is because build and release are so similar that everything that I just said about build is true about release as well. So I'm going to go back and open up my summary. And down at the bottom here, I can see that it succeeded, so that's good for me. And then we're basically going to go and take a quick tour of release as well. So this is release management. It allows me to quickly see that I currently have 876 in dev and 874 is in QA in production. So I quickly can see exactly what version of my application is where in my pipeline. If I want to go back in and get a little bit more detail on it, I can by simply clicking on this. And as you'll notice from the right-hand side over, this looks exactly like our build system. The reason why is because it uses the same exact engine, the same exact task. It's extendable just like it was from the other side, from the build side as well. What we did is we added 2 new concepts. One concept is an environment, and the other concept is an approver. So on the left-hand side here, you'll see that we have an environment. An environment is just a logical grouping of a series of steps that you want to perform with approval before or after. It's just that simple. It doesn't have to map to a physical environment. When you're doing mobile development, one phase of your deployment might be to alpha testers. The next phase will be to beta testers. That doesn't change your environment, but I need to do different steps throughout my pipeline. And we can actually do that by modeling with environments here in our tool. And this little icon here lets me know that I have an approver before my QA environment. And that approver can be an individual or it can also be a group. And I get to control exactly who the approvers are, and then go back in and determine if I need all of them to approve. They have to approve in order. I can put a group there versus an individual. And then that group, any individual in that group can approve it. So imagine that you have a QA team, and you want to put the entire team there as an approver so that if your lead goes on vacation, your pipeline doesn't stop. Because if he's gone and he's on vacation and can't approve stuff, you have this pile-up of deployments. But if you put a group there, then anyone in that group who's not on vacation can go in, approve it, and keep your pipeline moving. So we give you a lot of flexibility when it comes to approvers as well. But everything I said about build is also true about release. So if we go back now to our people tracker and we refresh this, you can see that we have tons of names in there. And these bottom two here, Firefox E user, that was my Selenium test that ran as part of my deployment that said, hey, I've deployed a new version that should have middle name there. Let me run a test against it using Firefox in this case and make sure that your app still works. If we promote this into QA, QA uses Chrome instead, so that I can test Chrome and Firefox as I move my code through my pipeline, making sure I support all my different browsers. Now, what this should have also done for me, so I switch back over to my Mac here, so you can see my iPhone. I'm basically going to go ahead and close my app here. And then I'm going to launch it back up, and you're going to see what we're able to do with Hockey App. So what Hockey App should have done is told the system, hey, there's a new version of you out there. And what I should be able to do here in a second is get a notification, and it's saying, hey, there's a new version. Would you like to see it? If I had applied release notes, I would be able to see the release notes from the team right here before I download it to make sure that this is a release that I want. Maybe that bug fix I want to go investigate is actually in here. And I simply click on update. And then what I can do is directly install this from Hockey App. Again, this is bypassing all of the public stores. This is going to be a huge time saver without having to sign it, go through the evaluation just for a public change, or having to side loan it. You don't even have to do this connected. I can do this over the air. This is installing over the internet, not over this tethered cable. So all your beta testers and alpha testers just get these updates instantly. Once this is done installing and the network here has been quite slow, you'll be able to go back in and see this application, and I'll show you that here in a second. So let me show you Hockey App real quick on where this stuff actually all ends up, and while that is loading in the background. So if we were to go over here to Hockey App, we'll be able to see the Hockey App dashboard. The dashboard allows me to see all the applications that I currently have in flight, and if I were to click on one of these items, I'd be able to see exactly how many versions I have, how many times that version has been downloaded, and really cool is how many times it's crashed. And if it's crashed, it actually gives me crash analytics. And what I'll do for you is I'll crash this app over here in a second once I get it up, because I put one in there, and show you exactly how I'm able to send that information directly to the Hockey App team and to your team. And as you'll notice here, it says tracked. The reason it says tracked is because we're able to take Xamarin, we do own them too, but Hockey App, and actually tie them into our Visual Studio Team Services system. So where I created that work item that said add middle name, I now have a bug saying adding middle name broke your code. Immediately, I don't have to touch it. So your developer never has to see Hockey App if they don't want to. They can stay in their IDE, they can still get to all their bugs, even if the bugs are created by one of our other systems that actually pipes inside of there. So let's see, I think my app is completely installed now. So if I were to go back to my iPhone, and I start this application now, what we should see now is all the names that we saw before. And remember, we didn't lose a single piece of data that was already there. I can go ahead and click on people. It makes an asynchronous call to the server. And there are all the names that we have. And some of them have middle names in there, like eUser. I can come over here and I can see that it has the new middle name that it did not have before. So I've been able to, while I'm on stage talking to you guys, push a change to a database, a web server, a Docker container, and to every mobile device that my company supports, all while you are trying here explaining it to you. So another thing I want to do is show you how we can do crashes. So if I were to go to create, and then I click on cancel, the app crashes. It's a null reference exception. But if I click on it and start it over again, Hockey App has detected that it crashed. And it says, hey, would you like to send this report to the dev team so they can go back in and investigate this? When I publish this app to Hockey App, I also publish the symbols so that it can actually go ahead and decode my call stack for me, tell me where exactly I was in the code, and even what line number this exception was thrown on. So I don't have to go and try to reduplicate this. I can simply go and look at the information in Hockey App, which I'll show you here in just a second, and actually go back and quickly perform a fix, and then push that fix through the pipeline just like I did a moment ago. I make the change, I commit the change, and moments later, it's in the hands of my developers and in my testers so they can go back in and fix it. So this is the one that we were looking at. And as you can see here, it tells me exactly where I was. I'm on line 68 of this particular file, and it threw a null reference exception in my code. Now, if I needed to, I could obviously go and get more information, but in this case, that's enough information for me to actually know exactly where in my code I'm supposed to go, and then looking, going back in and actually fixing this. One thing I did not show here is the ability for you to give feedback. So maybe the app didn't crash. Maybe it's doing something that you really, really like. There is a mechanism inside Hockey App where I can actually annotate the screen. Actually, I like to take a screenshot. I like to circle this area and say, I really like this feature. You guys should do more of this. And then send that over to us as feedback versus a bug. I could also go back in, if this wasn't enough information, and send feedback that says, this is where I clicked on the screen when I crashed your app a moment ago, and actually send that information back to the Hockey App team as well. We talked about delivering value means being able to monitor the app while it's running. Well, when we want to monitor the app on a mobile device, we have a couple of options at Microsoft. And we're kind of mending those two together. When we acquired Xamarin, we also got Xamarin Insights, which is like application insights for your mobile device. Hockey App already had some monitoring functionality in it. And what we're doing is we're basically blending those two features together so that if you want to go ahead and monitor your mobile app, you can do it directly from Hockey App. But we also have a web service running. We also have containers running. We actually have application insights that will allow you to monitor not only the container, but the host that the container is running on to let you know if it's oversaturated, maybe your density is too high. We can then tell you what services are calling, I'll tell you a personal story about Application Insights. You saw the racing car at the bottom. I run a website that for people who race cars. And there was this feature that I was just dying to get rid of. Because I'm like, man, this site's 15 years old. That's the first feature I wrote. There's no way people are still using that. I have better options in the site. But before I deleted it, I used Application Insights, and I inputted what we call custom telemetry. I said, every time they use this feature, let me know that they use this particular feature. And then I let the system run for another week. I would have upset a lot of people had I just randomly deleted that feature because I didn't want to maintain it anymore. And I actually had numbers now that said, Donovan, in the last week, 4,000 people used that feature. 4,000 individual, unique people you are going to upset if you delete that particular feature and don't want to maintain it. Now I'm thinking, I need to enhance that feature. I mean, 4,000 people I would affect if I go back in there. So being able to make an intelligent decision about the changes that you make is what monitoring actually brings to you. And it works for Java, it works for JavaScript, it works for Fat Client or otherwise. Guys, it is a new age for Microsoft. I had never installed Linux until after I joined Microsoft. Just let that sink in for a second. I own a MacBook Pro, an iPod, and a Mac Mini at home because I work at Microsoft. So please, we are more than just the .NET company. We're more than just the Windows company. We have value to add for you no matter what language you program in and no matter what platform you target. Thank you so much. How are we doing on time? 4 minutes. Anyone have any questions? All right, go ahead. Perfect question. The question was, what about that thing you showed me for tokenization? How do I find that? So what you do is you go to our marketplace, and let me bring that up for you. And from our marketplace, make sure you're on Visual Studio Team Services, because we have several of them, and just type in Colin. Colin's going to love this video when he sees it, because that's the thing that you need right there. Yep, no problem. You download that, you'll get those new tasks, and then you'll be able to use it right in your pipeline. Am I running Docker native? Is that what you asked? Yes. All right, so the question is, am I running Docker native? What I did is I spun up a VM in Azure, a Linux machine, and I installed the Docker engine on that machine, right? So that's how we're running it. I'm not using Swarm yet, but this will support Swarm, and it supports Compose as well. We're working with, I never say it right, Mesosphere, I think is what it's called. Yeah, I never say that one right. We also have ACS coming from Azure, which is the Azure Container Service. We have plugins and support for all of those. So no matter how you want to run containers, Linux or Windows containers, because Windows 10 and Server 16 are going to have support for Windows containers, we can actually run those for you as well. Right here in the front.
Okay. Two questions.
Sure.
The first one, your insights are igniting your Jira. That's the thing. Is there any sort of one-click integration bug report coming in and creating a ticket or a task in the backlog?
So is there a one-click solution to get the bug from where? From the mobile device?
The bug in, you see it, triage it, say, okay, I know that it fixes, we need to put in our backlog to fix. How can I get that in there? Is there one-click method of doing that?
There's a couple ways, right? So for example, when I crashed the app, that bug went in there automatically just by simply saying, I want to fix that.
Yeah,
oh, no. Oh, good. I'm glad. Good. Thanks for the clarification. So the fact that over here it says tracked, this one is not in our stuff. This one went there automatically. You can set up what they call bug tracker. So if I go back, where's my dashboard? Let me twirl this app. This one. You see right here it says bug tracker equals Visual Studio Team Services. The moment that I set that up, it takes every crash and turns it into a bug instantly for me. Also, if I don't want it to be instant, I can actually open it up and say, I want you to turn this into a bug, and then you do it right from Hockey App. So there's a couple answers there for you.
And then, sorry, second question.
Sure.
Is there a migration path from existing Jira users or GitHub users into your equivalent?
GitHub is the easiest. So the question was, is there a migration path from other systems into our system?
Jira specifically.
And you also said GitHub. GitHub's the easy one, right? That's one thing I do like about Git. You clone it, you have everything. And then all you have to do is do a git add remote, and you add our repository, and then you simply push there. That's it. So that's how you get from any Git you're using today to our Git, clone it, change your remote, push it. That's it. Jira, there's a couple options there. We have some vendors whose sole life is to do what you just asked for. One of them is called TaskTop, and the other one is called OpsHub. And we also have some migration tools that I believe we're working on too, that are going to help you with that migration. But if you want to do it today, I would go with those two options. Now, I have a question for you, Clemory. We're giving away a band, but no one is sitting where they're supposed to be sitting to get it. So, all right, there's three of them that are probably equidistant from that item. You see it? The guy on his knees? No, the wrong row. If you're willing to get on your knees to go get it, then you can have it. You see it? You're looking for a sticker. You're looking for the cool cat sticker. It should be stuck to the bottom of the chair. Actually, I think you passed it, buddy. Back up two steps. There you go. All right, we have a winner right there. No, not that sticker. I can see you took the tag off the bottom of the seat. That's illegal to remove the tag. Great. So I appreciate that. If you do have additional questions, guys, just like I said, follow me on Twitter. We have a couple other things. I want you to go and talk to some of our people in the back for me. We have some information for you there. And also, if I have some more resources I wanted to share with you real quick. So in the back of the room, we have Jessica who can answer any questions for you. And here are some other resources you can get to. My blog has all this stuff on it. Every time I do a demo like this, I document how I did it. So those who want to follow along or try it at home, they can actually try it themselves. And again, you'd be surprised. If you go to my Twitter feed right now, it's people usually asking me questions, and then I'll point them to a blog or I'll get someone at Microsoft involved who can help. So it's my pleasure. Take care, guys.